Blog Talk Radio.
You're tuned into We Talk Radio Network.
Listening to After the Lights Go Out
on We Talk Radio Network. Thank you so much for tuning in to the After the Lights Go Out radio show. I am your host, Kia D. I'm super excited to be here with you tonight. It is a beautiful Wednesday night, hanging out with my main man, the incredible T. Smiley. What's up, T. Smiley?
What's up? What's up, everybody? It's After the Lights Go Out.
Uh-oh. Y'all better put your kids in the bed. Wednesday night, put your kids in the bed. We do have an incredible special guest tonight. Singer, songwriter, musician, Frank McComb is going to be here tonight. He is a legend in the game. I'm really excited to have him here with us tonight. So don't go anywhere. Frank McComb will be joining us, as well as we've got some incredible music that we'll be playing tonight. It's a very mellow night tonight. We chilling tonight. We ain't going to have too much conversation tonight. We'll be back Monday night with all the conversation and with all the topics and news and all that stuff. And then, of course, we'll be back on Saturday. For the Cave Radio Show, T. Smiley has a guest, so it's going down. So I'm excited about tonight to feature the incredible Frank McComb. Shout out to Myron Ruffin for connecting the dots and making sure that Mr. McComb was featured here on We Talk Radio Network. And listen, Myron Ruffin is a bad man. He has a company called Unlimited Wealth Entertainment. Fabulous, real talk. Known him for years, and he has always been able to connect us with fabulous artists around the globe. So we're really excited to continue to work with Mr. Ruffin throughout the years. So we don't want you to go anywhere. We want you to continue to enjoy the show. And we got music and all kinds of great stuff coming up in a few seconds. So don't go anywhere. When we come right back, we're going to be we're going to be hanging out. And, again, we're waiting on our special guest. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with more of the incredible After the Lights Go Out radio show on We Talk Radio Network. Yeah.
I want to spend the night with you. Share my
for tuning in to After the Lights Go Out. Woo! What an amazing show. This is your favorite producer, DB, on We Talk Radio.
That's right. Welcome back to the After the Lights Go Out radio show right here on your favorite listening station, We Talk Radio Network. It's your girl, Kia D, holding it down on the ones and twos, my main man, T. Smiley, and the crew. We appreciate you for being here tonight. And listen, around the globe, y'all are tuning in. I appreciate you coming in on the phone lines, on the internet, from social media. We appreciate it all. We love the love. So tonight, as we have already said, we are really, really excited to feature this extraordinary artist who's done so many incredible things. And we're going to talk about all that tonight. Okay. And this new album, this new single, all that good stuff. We're going to talk about all that. Y'all be ready. He is not only a fabulous musician. He is not only an incredible songwriter. He is also one of the most melodic and fabulous singers you will ever hear. I want you to please put your phalanges together. That's your fingers and your toes. You cannot forget about the toes. Put them together and help me welcome the incredible Frank McComb. Hey, Mr. McComb, how are you?
Well, I'm feeling good after that. Wow, I'm a little nervous because there's some big shoes to fill for them toes. I'm so honored. Thank you so much. I'm so honored.
You are so welcome. You are so very, very welcome. We are super duper excited to have you here tonight. Of course, myself, I'm Kia D, and the incredible T. Smiley, who's also here with us tonight. He hosts a show called The Cave Radio Show on Saturdays. So a lot of great men love to get you featured on that show as well. So we'll talk about that soon, too. But tonight is about you and your incredibleness and the things that you've done and the tracks that you've laid. Let's just start from the beginning. I love talking about the beginning, where you started and how it all started. I know I've seen the story, I've read the story, but I definitely want you to, I want you to talk about it and tell us all about the incredible Mr. McComb.
Well, it started in Cleveland, Ohio. Let me just start here. I knew what I wanted to do for a living by the time I was three, literally 3 years old. I knew what I wanted to do. I mean, I remember when my mother and my aunts and everybody brought, I remember when InterVisions came in the house. I remember when they played Kirby Hancock's Headhunters. You know, we're talking 1973. I was only three. And I didn't see piano coming. I mean, my first instrument was at age eight. It was drums. And then piano at age 12. I had three piano lessons from my Aunt Evelina, literally three piano lessons. Every Sunday, the three Sundays, 1 hour Sunday. So it was literally 3 hours piano training. Kid you not. So I scratched up all my mother's records. You know, back then we didn't have technology that we have today. We had to put the needle on the record and get the lick real quick and, you know, keep putting the needle over that same spot of the record till we got that lick down, right? So that's how I learned piano. So it's funny because I would play in my grandmother's church, and they put me off the organ. They said I was too jazzy. They said, oh, Frankie, you got to get off the organ. Wow. You play too jazzy. Only to be endorsed by Billy Preston, who played on two of my records. Anybody out there listening, if somebody tells you you can't do something and you know you're good at it, then make them even madder and keep doing it. by age 12, I learned piano. At age 15, I was in the clubs. I was in bars, rather, Cleveland, Ohio, playing with all the old guys. And by 17, I had my first trio, the Frank McComb Trio. At 19, I got a call from the Rude Boys, who had just gotten signed to Atlantic Records with Gerald Levert. They put out their first album, and the first hit was Written All Over Your Face. So they asked me to be in the band, and I ended up being an MD because the original MD ended up getting a call to go out with the Winans. So they put me in the MD seat. So my first touring gig, I was a musical director. I went on tour all of 91 with the Rude Boys as their MD, and I met some friends in Philly along with Jazzy Jeff. So my friends... Well, some people may know him in the business. Mark Byers, who ran Motown in the last few years. But Mark Byers, you know, before he was even in the industry, he always had a heart for the music business. So I met Mark and his brother Sherman, and them, along with Jazzy Jeff, talked me into moving to Philadelphia after that Rude Boys tour was done. So in September 91, I moved to Philadelphia, stayed there till November 9th, 1992. So I did session work for Will and Jeff, went on tour with Will and Jeff, did a lot of session work with Kenny Gamble and Leon Huff at Philadelphia International Records. And there was a gentleman named Steve McKeever. Everybody probably know him from signing Jill Scott to Hidden Beach Records. But he signed me to MoJazz. This was the new jazz imprint that he came up with for Motown years prior to signing, to even thinking of Hidden Beach. So he signed me, came to Philadelphia, met me at Philly International, which is no longer standing. Yeah, that hurts my heart. But, yeah, no longer standing. Met me there and signed me to Motown. November 9th, 1992, I moved to L.A. Never looked back. And the deal with Motown was sour. They were bought out by PolyGram for a lot of money. And I decided to leave. So Gerald Busby, the late Gerald Busby, Steve McKeever, gave me my walking papers with no struggle because they saw that I had already gone through so much at the label. So I left the label, went out with Branford Marcellus in a band called Buckshot LaFunk. And I'm like one of the keyboard players and the main singer. I'm the only singer in the band. And we put out a couple projects. I wrote a few tunes for the band. One of the tunes became a big hit, featured me out front, called Another Day. And it ended up getting us on the road, you know, for another year or two.
Oh.
It's funny because while I was with Buckshot, I had done a two-hour showcase for the R&B department, who passed on me to sign someone else. And it really made Branford mad because he was like, man, I'm presenting these guys to you, and they don't get it. So we stayed on the road, and they got me signed through Columbia Jazz. So in 1998, recorded this great album called Love Stories. All of 99 is sat on the shelf, so I toured with Chaka Khan and Frankie Beverly back-to-back so that I could feed my family. They finally put the record out March 7, 2000, and said that they weren't going to push it, basically. So like I say in all interviews, how do you give birth to a child and tell it to raise itself? It's really not. But the fans caught on because it was such a great album. The fans caught on. But the label wouldn't push it because of internal issues that had nothing to do with me. So once again, here we are, Frank McComb dealing with politics. Politics at Motown, major black label looking for me out of the public, to Columbia Records, major white label, politics. It was in the company, had nothing to do with me, but I suffered both labels. So I ended up getting with the indie label. I won't even mention them because bad press is good press for them. Now, I'm just telling my testimony. I don't like exploiting people. I like to just tell my testimony to help people that, you know, and that are in the position I was once in. So I get with this other company. I'm the only one on the bill, only one on the roster, and they still couldn't get it right. So I figured, you know, what do you do with a guy who sings like Stevie Wonder and Donny Hathaway and plays piano like Herbie Hancock, George Duke, and Chick Corea? You know, what do you do with a guy like that? Obviously, they didn't know what to do. So I ended up finding out that someone had bootlegged my record that I did for Motown. It was never released. And he was selling it for $50 a CD over in the U.K. as a CDR. He's selling my stuff behind my back. Mind you, the producer of the sophomore record that I put out with the indie label that I won't mention, but he was backdooring me over in the UK. Didn't think I'd find out. So I found out about it and realized, well, if God could use a donkey to talk to a man, he could use a thief to talk to me. So he showed me my next move was to go independent. If he can do it against you, then you could do it for yourself. Steal from yourself, you can't go wrong now, can you? So I decided to go home. And I put 12 songs on a CDR. I did exactly what he did, but with my own music. Put 12 songs on a CDR, and I called it Straight from the Vault. I hand-wrote it, and I burned every CD one at a time in a laptop. I hand-wrote on it, Straight from the Vault, Frank McComb. Went to Cleveland, my hometown, told my story, played a gig, sold the whole duffel bag. So the money I made from the CDs, I put into making more CDs, and the money that I made from the shows, I took care of my family. Ended up going to, where did I go? It was Yoshi's. Went up to Yoshi's. With Layla Hathaway. Same thing. Told the story, sold the whole bag. So I said, okay, this is it. Boobie School Music is alive. And that's the name of my little company because that was the first nickname my daughter had when she was born, when she first learned to crawl, Boobie School. My wife said, oh, look at little Boobie School. And that's how I got my name. Because, you know, back then we had to go to the county recorder's office. We didn't have the technology today. So I had to go to the recorder's office with these names and give this lady, she was old enough to shake hands with Moses once or twice. She was so old, she knew every letter, every name I came up with, she knew. But when I came in with Boobie School, B-O-O-B-E-E-S-C-O-O-T, she was like, baby, I'm just going to give you the seal. You just go on ahead, baby. I never seen no name like this. Next thing I know, my company is born. So Wow. I put out Straight from the Vault, and I got my first award with SoulTracks.com, Best Album of the Year. There's no one else on this whole record but me. I tracked everything. It sounds like a live band. But it got me my first award, Best Album of the Year with SoulTracks.com. And I ended up, you know, people started asking me, what are you going to do with this bootleg that's going around? So I anonymously ordered a copy from the bootlegger. How about that? And
wow.
I used that copy as the master. And I started burning my own stuff, but I put some integrity with it. I made a cover. It was a white piece of paper with a skinny leg inside of a construction boot, and I called it the 1995 bootleg. By this time, I'm working with Prince. We were having this rehearsal at a place called Center Staging, and we were in the big room, so he had a nice-sized office that was connected to the room. So my wife and I took the printer, the CD burner, everything down to his office and set it up. And I did not ask. We just did it. So my wife is in there pressing up CDs while I'm rehearsing. So I go in the room, and I start helping her. We take the break, and Prince is looking and saying, what are you guys doing? I said, well, I'm running a family business. He asked me, what did the skinny leg and the boot mean? And I said, well, the boot represents the fact that the man is working hard, but the skinny leg represents the fact that he's not getting paid for his work. He's starving. From that moment on, he was like, he told me, he said, Frank, go all the way with it. You're doing basically what I did when I wrote Slave on My Face. He said, go all the way. Don't play with it. You know, and he said, do not deal with contracts. You make sure you're dealing with agreements and have your Harriet Tubman escape. You know, that's what you have to do. If you can't get out of it, if you can't get out of that deal, then it's a contract. They conjure you. You got to know what you're agreeing to. So make it an agreement. That man gave me so much knowledge. So here I am from 2004 to 2022. I am self-managed. I'm self-booked. Own my own little label, and I put my music out. I record my own music, mix it, master it, sell it directly to the public. I'm a one-man machine, and I literally do everything myself. So my fans and anybody out there that's just getting to know me for the first time, it is you and me that keeps me alive. Then I have friends like my man, Byron Ruffin, over at Unlimited Wealth. That guy looks out for me. If I need anything done, he looks out. He looks out. So I have friends I can call on to get things done, but for the most part, I am 100% self-contained, literally. Now I'm talking to you.
Wow.
How about that?
That's amazing.
My goodness. Oh, wow. If you are just tuning in, I got one of the baddest brothers on the planet.
On the planet?
He said he's a one-man team. I believe it. Listen.
One-man machine.
One-man machine. I believe it. 1,000%. Feature him tonight on the show, the incredible Frank McComb. Listen, a couple things. First of all, congratulations on all of your incredible accolades. Amazing. You deserve everything and then some and more.
Thank you.
Second of all, I'm grateful. Tell your beautiful wife. Mm-hmm. Yeah, tell your beautiful wife happy birthday. I know she just celebrated a birthday.
Yeah, she, you know what? And if I kept it going, she'd keep celebrating too.
Listen, she has one. Today was the last day in the month, and I hope she celebrated all the way through it.
Man, she'll celebrate till the rest of the year if I let her.
That's what I'm talking about. That's how you celebrate. That is how you celebrate.
You only live once, to my knowledge. I don't remember ever being here before.
Take advantage of it, man. I can tell that 100% you are taking advantage of every ounce of life that you've been given. I mean, you know, your testimony, some people call it a story, some people call it a testimony, your life, you know what I mean, is what it is. It's brilliant, it's beautiful, it's interesting how God just seamlessly does his thing. You know, we think it's a downfall, but he's setting us up for something greater. I want to talk about that because mentioned several times, you know, how the rug was pulled from underneath you, you know what I mean? And you mentioned you gave a lot of inspiration. I want to hit on that just one more time, if you will, because we got a lot of people out there that will get the rug pulled and won't keep going. You know what I mean? They stop right there, quick to give up, you know. Can you talk a little bit more about what you did in order to make it through those deep, dark moments? You know, because people see the pictures and they see the music and they're like, man, this is the glitz and glam, but they don't realize. You know, the construction that you had to get there.
Well, for me, what I had to do, because I came into the game mainstream. I came into the game mainstream, signed to a major record label. I was forced over time, gradually, to become independent. So what I had to do was I had to learn every job there is, everything that it takes for a recording artist to have a career. I had to learn all of those jobs. And some people may not have the capability of learning all of those jobs, but I didn't think I did either, but it forced me to have to learn how to do it. And once you've lost everything and lost it more than once, where else is there to go? I wasn't afraid to take the chance, you know, at that point. I was forced to survive, and I had to learn how to turn survival into living, because there's a difference in living and surviving. And this industry forced me to have to survive until I learned how to live from it. So my advice to everybody, and I ain't going to tell you something that I haven't already experienced or done or, you know, had to do for myself to live. Learn every job there is to know. Learn every job there is to know that all the things that it takes to push a recording artist. Learn how to mix that music. Learn how to record that music. If you can't learn how to do it, at least know how it works. And find people, if you can, that can do the job for you. But always know how to explain what it is that you need. Know how to explain to somebody at least what you need so that they can help you. And teach people how to treat you, you know. You know, I've had managers, if that's what you want to call them. I've had managers that were control freaks. It's like they saw my gift and they just turned into a whole different, you know. I mean, they talked up a good game, but when we started working together, they became possessive and controlling, and I don't do control freaks. I'm sorry. And, you know, I think I was at one time a control freak myself. I became a control freak myself because I had lost so much behind that, you know, at the hand of someone else. And that's not
right.
A good thing. So I had to take my career, take my life back in my own hands and learn my value. So know your value as well. Don't be in the now. And, you know, if you ain't got no platinum records, don't be asking for $1 million for a concert, bottom line. But I had to learn how to do all these jobs, take my life back in my hands, learn how to manage my own career so that I don't have somebody over me messing things up for me and then leaving me to have to put all the pieces back together in my life while they go on and mess up somebody else's life after they messed yours up. You know? And these are the things that I experienced. So learn how to do these jobs. I remember I would do sessions for producers that were up and coming. And I would do demos for them because, you know, they were buddies of mine. And at least, you know, at the time they were buddies of mine. And I would charge them $100, just dirt cheap, giving my voice to them to do demos for other artists. So, you know, help them get the production work. And they would say, man, you're just hooking me up, blah, 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 blah. You know, if you ever need time, just let me know. Come on through. We'll do some stuff. So every time I would cash in on that, they would say, oh, I got Usher coming in. I got Monica coming in. I got G-Wine coming in. I'm like, okay, I ain't going to navigate in. So let me learn how to record my own stuff and not have to go to this. So I went to the Guitar Center, and I got me some gear. I got, at the time, a keyboard called the Trinity by Korg, not knowing I was going to be endorsing Korg because I'm endorsing them strong. We'll come back to that, too, if y'all are interested. But I got this thing called the Korg Trinity. And I got some gear from Guitar Center, and I hooked it all up. I learned that stuff. I played with it until I got it. And that's how Straight from the Vault was recorded. And then from there, I just did all of my records, did them on my own. And from 2004 on, and I said I'll never have to depend on anybody else to record another one of my ideas in my head again. Never again. I'll do it myself. And I had to learn how to not be a control freak anymore. Once I got the gist of things and got my life together, I had to learn there's a difference in being a control freak and being in control. And I'm in control of my life now. I'm not a control freak, but I'm in control of my life. And anything that's not going to bless me or take me to the next level, I have no space or no time for it. I mean, money we make over and over again, but time is something we ain't never getting back. So I can't afford to waste that with people trying to control me. I hope that makes sense.
Absolutely, 100%. Listen, thank you all for tuning in tonight. We have been blessed with the incredible inspirational and motivational speaker as well as singer-songwriter and musician. Okay. He didn't know he was an inspirational speaker. Listen.
I'm just trying to help somebody get out of their situation. That's all. You know, I've been there, done that, got the T-shirt. You know, I'm trying to help somebody else, you know.
And, you know, it's interesting. Sometimes when we have the experience and we've gone through, we fall short to tell somebody and help somebody and bless somebody with that information. And so we appreciate it here. You know, We really, really do. We have a lot of people who tune in who are, you know, business owners. Some are musicians. You know, some are just, you know, they work 9 to 5s and they're trying to figure out if they want to jump. You know, they jump roping right now. They might want to go over. They might not, because the 9 to 5 money looks real good. You know, when you become an entrepreneur, sometimes they don't tell you. You might only make $164 in the first 6 months. I mean, you know, you got to be willing, ready, and able to do this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's tough sometimes.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, there is really no stable. You know, we don't get a check every 2 weeks. You know, and I'll be honest with you, I've never worked a job. My whole life has been hustle and grind. I've never worked a job. I tried working a job, and it only lasted for 1 day. I was out. I just couldn't do it. And I don't knock it. I don't knock anybody that works. Yeah, I was like, no, I can't do this. It's just not what I was called to do. And I don't knock anybody that works a regular job, because without them, there is no me. You know, so I have mad respect for the everyday hardworking person. You know,
absolutely.
But it is definitely a hustle. It's a hustle. It's a grind. And every dime I make comes from my voice in my hands. It comes from my mind. And that's a blessing to be able to get paid from doing what it is that you love to do. That in itself is a God-given gift. But I'll tell you, I've earned every bit of it. I have paid my dues to be able to travel the world, booking my own shows, you know, around the world, literally. I've paid some dues to be able to do that. And you got to be ready to pay some dues. You just do. If you don't pay no dues, you're gonna pay something. You ain't gonna like it. So, yeah, for real.
Absolute fact.
Yeah.
Absolute fact. Not only have you traveled the world, but you had the opportunity to travel the world and work with so many artists, including some of my favorite artists, Eric Roberson and Prince. T Smiley's one of T Smiley's favorite artists, and you know, speaking of him and his greatness, you mentioned him earlier and having the pleasure of working with him. You know, when you you got the news about Prince, you know, tell me, you know, what were your feelings and your thoughts? You know what I mean?
I was devastated. I was devastated when we lost Prince. Just such a gifted person, very knowledgeable person, just with a life cut down too short, too soon. You know, so much more to get out of him, just so much more.
Absolutely.
And I just think his death was premature. I do. I think quite a few people's deaths were just premature. I think Gerald LaVert's death was premature. I do.
Yeah.
But then you have those, like, you know, you can't help it, but like George Duke. My heart still cries behind his death. You know, you can't, what do you say about leukemia? You know, it's cancer, you know, but Prince didn't die from cancer, you know.
Right.
Yeah, I just think it could have been avoided. And it's really sad because I've had so many, like when he died, I had so many different press outlets reach out to me looking for dirt. I have to be honest with you, I don't have any, because dude treated me like a king. we would have some of those 3121 parties at the house, and you know, like, it would be a star-studded room, celebrities everywhere, and he would set me up. He would call me. He would have me up there playing a thing, and right afterwards he would call other celebs to come up, and they wouldn't come up behind me. I thought it was funny. And we would laugh about it at the end of the night, or should I say the next morning, because the parties didn't finish till like 7 the next day, which is
right,
true.
Right.
And we'd be laughing about it. He would look at me and say, "Don't fight. You just see such his face when I called him up after you." I knew you were up to no good. I knew you were up to no good.
Oh, man.
Yep.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Oh yeah, see,
man.
See, one of the reasons I believe Prince loved me so much is because of the fact that a lot of, and I'm not slighting anybody, I ain't trying to bring down nobody else, but a lot of these quote unquote independent artists that we all know out here, they had some kind of mainstream push to help them get a name, be it a record on the label that was pushed, video that was pushed, the music was pushed to radio by the label, the whole nine. I didn't get any of that. I was signed to the labels, and nothing came of those labels. No radio push, not one video to BET or any other outlet, MTV, whatever. I just did my first professional music video in 30 years of being a recording artist. And it took from my buddy, Gano Grills, to help me fund it. So I didn't get any of that. I didn't get any push from a record label, none. So everything that you see, if anybody out there knows who Frank McCormick is, it's me, it's because of me, my wife, and my kids who helped me hand package every CD. And God. That is the honest God's truth. There's been no corporation to push, to this day, to push me. No corporation. So with that being said, anybody out there that want to support Frank McComb, I am here. I will be your tax write-off.
Come through.
Come on, wait. Bring me all your tithes and offers. Bring all them tithes and offers on to me. Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
With that being said, let's talk about the new song. We were made for us. We absolutely love it. Tell us all about it. The thoughts. I know the new song, all that good stuff.
Wow, we were made for us, and it's funny because I put another one out after that one called Instead. I don't believe in waiting. If it's on me, I'm putting it out. But we were made for us. I like coming from a different angle than most people. You know, I like to have a great storyline or something to talk about or sing about, so to speak, because I grew up with that, the Spinners and Stevie and all those guys who wrote about something, you know. So this song is about a couple who stood all the tests of time, been through the whole nine, and now they're growing old. The kids are older now, you know, and they're still looking good as they're getting older. They're still into each other, you know, looking great, growing old gracefully, and looking back over their lives and like, you know what, we made it through. And we got our own little quirks. We were made for us. Ain't nobody else going to stand us. And we got these young kids out here trying to tell us what life is supposed to be like. I mean, we twice your age. We can tell you a couple few things if you just listen. So it's a song for the mature couple, you know. It's a song for the mature couple that's been through. And I tried to make a stepper's cut where people can, you know, couples can dance to this. You know,
yeah.
Right in their living room, turn it on and turn it up and just make a party for yourself. You know, or if there's a separate party, you can play it at the party and everybody can get up and step to it. You know, that's what it's about.
A hit. Yeah, it's definitely a hit. It is definitely a banger. You can definitely groove to it. So absolutely.
Yeah, we will definitely be playing this on the radio. My show is coming up Saturday, so I can't wait to it. I can't wait play this. So
I gotta get the new one to you too. Instead, it's about the fathers. It's about the fathers, the father figures, the men that are really rocks, you know. They hold it down. And this past Father's Day revealed to me that we don't have a song. We got Mother's Day tunes all day, all night, you know. I'll always love my mama and tunes, or Dear Mama, Tupac, you know. But we don't have a song that honors the rock of the family. We got backbone songs all day. You know, the backbone, they straight. But the rock, we don't have no song. So I wrote one, you know, and it's about the men. And I'm getting a lot of great response on it because brothers are like, man, this is me all day. And you got wives that are supporting their men, you know, and telling me. So it's all coming back to me, you know, these stories.
Nice.
And like I said, I like songs that say something, songs that minister to people, you know. That's what I'm about.
Without a doubt, without a doubt. T-Smiler, you were going to say something?
No, I was just going to say, with that being said, you know, it's only adding to what you said about, you know, you yourself, your wife, and your family pushing your product as well as God, you know what I'm saying? Because if it's a message in there, it's going to reach. It's going to reach. It's definitely going to connect with a lot of people.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's the plan. That's the plan. You know, we've got so much negativity out here, and there was a time when music actually spoke volumes. You know, music was used for politics. Music was used for getting the girl that we wanted, man. Like I say all the time in concert, I tell all these all the time, back when I was growing up, we could take the lyrics of a love song and write them down and give them to the girl we were interested in. And in most cases, we got that girl until she found out we were crazy. And she found out we were crazy. They were leaving. Got her, you know. But then, you know, but then nowadays, if you take the lyrics of what you would consider today's love song and write it down on a piece of paper, give it to that girl, she's going to think you're trying to kill her or rape her. And that ain't what I'm about. You know, I like maturity. I like maturity, you know. Yeah. So that's what it's about, man. That's what I'm all about.
I love it. Well, we're excited to have the extraordinary Frank McComb on tonight. Soul, jazz, extraordinaire. Let's get your contact information, website, social media, all that good stuff. We want people to have the opportunity to follow you and everything.
I have a one-stop shop where you can get to my Instagram, my Facebook, my Twitter, my apparel, my FM apparel, where to get CDs. And you go to this one link. It's frankmccombmusic.com. FrankMccomb music. You know, like comb your hair. I just ain't got no more. frankmccombmusic.com. And everything is there. My Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. You might see where I'm playing. Some of the shows may be there. And Bandcamp, my Bandcamp is there. And I tell people all the time, when we put our music on all of the digital platforms out there, when people stream and download, they get their music right away. But we as recording artists, we don't see those proceeds for 3 months. But if you go to my Bandcamp, frankmccomb.bandcamp.com, which is under that same umbrella I was telling you about, then you stream and download music there. You get your music right away, but we as the recording artists see the proceeds in 2 days. So support the artist and not the system. Go to my Bandcamp and order directly from me. If you want to reach me for bookings, it's FM, my initials, FM Concerts, with an S, FMConcerts@gmail.com. I am the booking agent. It's going to come right to me. Let's get busy.
I love it.
Nice.
Think, if I'm not mistaken, I saw a concert coming up for Amsterdam. You going to be in Amsterdam next month?
Yeah, actually, wow, let me see. Amsterdam, yeah, actually I'm going to be in the Netherlands for about a week, maybe a week and a half or something like that. And then, I'm going to be moving around the Netherlands. Actually, Seattle first, Seattle on September 11th. Then from there, I'll come home for a minute and then head over to Amsterdam. I'll be there, be in the Netherlands for a while. From there, I go to Spain. From Spain, I go to, it looks like, Armenia, Kazakhstan. Where else am I going? Might be Tiflis, Georgia. So I'll be in those parts. So I'll be gone for about a month. I'll be traveling through Europe again.
Beautiful. Well, we will definitely keep you lifted in prayer throughout your travels for the next couple weeks and months and all that good stuff. We want to make sure that you're safe and protected and your family safe and protected. You taking your family with you or do they stay here?
Thank you. Oh, no, this is work, not vacation. I'm going to be hitting it and quitting. Hey, I got to hit it and quit it like James Brown did it. I got to go out there and get this money and come on back. Then we can vacate. Because, I don't want to be running and playing this music and then I got to keep up with everybody else too. No, I roll solo. I got to go out there, go to work, come on back, and then we can plan a place. You know, but once you build the case, you know.
That's how you do it. That's right there.
I'm a businessman first. And without the businessman being first, there is no recording artist.
Boom, boom.
I love it. That's right. With that being said, I wanted you to give a shout-out to, you know, anybody you want to send a shout-out to. I know especially your family, your wife, and your kids. I know you want to send a shout-out. So, yeah, go ahead and do your shout-out there, sir.
Yeah. Now, I shout them out all the time. I love my family. Don't get me wrong. You know, my daughter's living in Vegas. My son, he's in L.A. doing production work. And my wife is backbone holding it all down. But I got to give a shout-out to my man Myron Ruffin over at Unlimited Wealth in the Cayman. He looks out for brother. You know, help me get things done. Like when it's just a little too much for me, I can call on Myron and just be like, yo, can you help me with such and such? Can you do this for me? Or you got something happening here and there. I got to fill these dates in this spot here. But, you know, so I got to give mad love to Myron. That's my dude. So.
He's a bad man. Shout out to Myron Ruffin with Unlimited Wealth. Entertainment. He is a bad boy.
That's right.
Yes, yes, yes.
OH10. I met him. OH10, Ohio. That's right. That's my home. My stomach down. Ohio, OH10, baby.
Yeah. I had the pleasure of meeting Mr. Ruffin years ago when I first started radio broadcasting. I was introduced to him, and this was back in 2010, and I've been rocking with Myron Ruffin ever since.
So, yeah.
That's a
good brother.
Very good brother. Well, we would love, Mr. McComb, for you to introduce your song to the listeners tonight, the extraordinary new hit single, We Were Made for Us. We thank you so much for being here tonight.
Thank you for being here.
Make sure y'all check him out on his website, One Stop Shop, frankmcombmusic.com, and that's MCCOMB. Okay, don't get it twisted.
That's right.
Boom,
that's right.
Boom, boom.
Hey, this is your soul jazz superman, Frank McComb, was my latest hit. We Were Made for Us.
Boom, on Blue Top Radio.
Some people. let you down. Just give me a chance and I'll clown. Put in work from uptown to downtown. Come around, I bet I smile and frown. Come again, cause it's just my style. Yeah.
I like to get The lights go out. Woo! What an amazing show. This is your favorite producer, DB, on We Talk Radio.
Thanks for tuning in to We Talk Radio Network.